It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Earlier this week, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined 18 Democratic colleagues to voice concern over President Donald Trump's on-again, off-again tariffs, saying his first-term tariffs cost American farmers $27 billion in exports over just 2 years.
3 months into President Trump's second term, we are checking in with Wisconsin's congressional delegation.
Last week, we spoke with Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Now we turn to Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's wonderful to join you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with tariffs and Wisconsin agriculture. Senator Baldwin, Canada, Mexico, and China, big recipients of exports from farmers here in Wisconsin, according to the State Department of Agriculture. Inputs, of course, fertilizers, farm equipment, prices could go up with tariffs. How do you see those tariffs impacting agriculture here in Wisconsin?
Well, I've talked to many farmers who are still reeling from and recovering from the first Trump trade war in his first term. As you noted, across this country, we lost about $27 billion in exports in just those 2 years of the previous Trump trade war. And people are really terrified that this time it might be worse, in part because of the broad across-the-board tariffs that did not appear to be targeted in any specific way, including with our biggest trading partners, which in Wisconsin are Canada, followed by Mexico, followed by China. The on-again, off-again nature of this round is no comfort to them. I've been hearing from some farmers that chaos is a form of its own tariff, if you will. But they are bracing for significantly increased input costs like fertilizer ingredients, like a dairy farmer I spoke with who gets his glass milk bottles and caps from Canada and will see those prices double, but also the loss of export markets as we have had our dairy industry in particular try to grow its dairy exports, its cheese export markets. And in retaliation, we're seeing countries indicate that they're not interested in U.S. exports to their countries.
You've said elsewhere that you're not universally opposed to tariffs. Targeted tariffs, you say, are fair game with in particular situations. When do you see tariffs being the right answer?
So I think when we have examined and investigated and found specific instances of cheating against the international trade rules. And oftentimes this is the PRC, the Chinese government, subsidizing their industry for the sole purpose of trying to do injury to U.S. Business. I'll give you an example, a recent one that we're still looking at remedies for, but the U.S. used to dominate in commercial shipbuilding. But last year, the U.S. produced five commercial ship vessels. China produced 1,700. Obviously, there's been an enormous change. And an investigation at the Commerce Department revealed that it was actually skirting the trade rules, cheating, subsidizing. Sometimes China uses forced labor, all sorts of things that can make them able to produce at an artificially low rate and drive other countries out of business. And there, I think it's very appropriate to take actions to try to give us a shot at reaffirming our role in commercial shipbuilding. And that could be docking fees or it could be tariffs. But I think when it's used in a targeted fashion to create or to address an injustice, then it's very appropriate. But these across-the-board tariffs with our trading partners, with our allies, when there's no cheating that's been alleged, just trading deficits because we buy more than we sell to them, that's a different matter. And it's harming not just farmers, but manufacturers, small businesses, and families who have to buy groceries each week.
Let's talk about who has authority to impose tariffs. Last week, we spoke to Republican Senator Ron Johnson about how tariffs are impacting Wisconsin businesses. We asked if the executive branch should have the sole authority to impose tariffs or if Congress should reclaim that authority. Here's what he said.
If I had more confidence in Congress, I might be a little bit more aggressive in trying to claw that authority back. But you know, when we can't pass budgets, when we don't pass appropriation bills, when we don't, you know, take our power of the purse seriously, it's kind of hard to want to claw that back as well.
President Trump has cited some laws passed in Congress, in some cases claiming emergency situations to invoke those laws. Senator Baldwin, do you think Congress should, as some even Republican colleagues have said, should try to take that tariff power back?
Well, first of all, the top line here is that President Trump has decided to paint the economy unilaterally on his own with these across-the-board tariffs. He is the one who should be answering to the American people, first and foremost. But that said, of course, Congress has a role to be a check and a balance to this president. And you saw a few weeks back the Senate taking a vote and winning that vote, by the way, on a resolution to take away the emergency declaration that President Trump made to justify his across-the-board tariffs against Canada. And we were successful in that. We had a handful of Republicans join all Democrats in voting for that resolution. Now, the House hasn't seen fit to take it up, but they could. And so we could fight back more effectively. But I would say, especially to Senator Johnson's comments, that I'm seeing House and Senate Republicans willingly give up their powers of the purse strings to this president. And we need to be rather an effective check and balance. There are three branches of government, and the Congress needs to assert itself in this arena. And when the president overreaches in legal or constitutional terms, the courts need to assert their role as a check and balance.
We're talking with Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Staying with that check and balance issue, we've got immigration cases where the White House seems to be foot dragging or ignoring court orders right now, invoking a questionable authority related to First Amendment issues, targeting colleges over free expression there, law firms because of past actions involving them in cases involving Donald Trump. Are you worried about the loss of checks and balances that we're moving toward essentially a presidential decree system of government?
The signs, the warning signs are all there. And I note on the immigration front, there was recently, as last week, a 9-0 Supreme Court decision that the Trump administration needed to work to facilitate the return of an immigrant. And the administration is blatantly disregarding this ruling. It is a constitutional crisis when the administration, when a president, no matter what party, begins to flout decisions by courts at any level. But this is very troubling. And just like too many of my Republican colleagues in the House and Senate, literally just giving up their power, their Article I constitutional power to this president, we cannot see the same thing unfold on the side of the judiciary and our judicial system, our court system.
What do you see as options to do about that as a senator in the minority party?
Yes, well, as I described earlier, we do have a handful of Republicans who are sounding the alarm and who joined us when we challenged Trump's across-the-board tariffs in against Canada. There's no reason why we can't bring forth another resolution when we reconvene to bring into question the other across-the-board tariffs. But that will require, in the Senate, Republicans joining with Democrats to reassert their powers.
Briefly, we've got a reconciliation-based budget moving through Congress now. You've raised alarms over proposed cuts to the Energy and Commerce Committee funding. That includes Medicaid, $880 billion. Some of that would have to come from Medicaid. What are your concerns?
I have been hosting town hall meetings and roundtables with Wisconsinites who would be impacted by any significant defunding of the Medicaid program. And I can tell you that these stories are absolutely compelling, and we have to fight tooth and nail to protect Medicaid. Medicaid serves the health care needs of about a third of all children, about 8 million seniors, including in Wisconsin. The majority of seniors in nursing home care have their care paid for by Medicaid, and 15 million children and adults with disabilities who need both health care and other specialized services. Hearing from Wisconsinites who rely on Medicaid for breast cancer treatment or for wheelchair access if they have a disability that requires that mobility aid, would not have other options without Medicaid. And so telling their story is a huge part of fighting back, of working to protect Medicaid. And I want to remind folks that, you know, the last time we did budget reconciliation under President Trump in his first term, they had the Affordable Care Act on the chopping block. And because people organized, told their stories, spoke out, rallied, we were able to prevent that from happening. We can do so again, but it's going to take all of us.
Senator Baldwin, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That is Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, talking to us about tariffs, Medicaid, and more 3 months into President Donald Trump's second term. Is there a question you'd like posed to a member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, Democrat or Republican, all of them? Let us know about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.